I'm looking it up.
I figured you would.
The Journey Into podcast is proud to present This Journey Into a Long Time Ago in a Galaxy Far, Far Away. A Journey Into Star Wars, featuring numerous delusions of grandeur.
Well, welcome to another Delusions of Grandeur episode here on the Journey Into podcast. The last few episodes that you've heard from us was our Han and Chewie vignettes. Hopefully you enjoyed those. But one of the things that I've been wanting to talk about for a while was the box office for Solo and kind of an analysis on that. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. How's it going, Rish?
It's going fine. We've been delaying this fight for weeks, probably a couple of months now, and I don't know that I can still muster the energy to fight you on it. But when you told me about it back in May, or I guess early June, I was just like, oh yeah, I'm ready to go the distance.
Well, I think I may have lost some of my bluster on that one.
Oh, shoot. I just wanted us to disagree for once.
We might still. I started backing up my argument with the numbers, and I'm seeing some of the reality here. But yeah, I think we all know that Solo had a very disappointing box office report. It's been out for just over 15 weeks now. And I started tracking the numbers because I kept hearing everybody saying, oh, Solo was such a failure.
That's the word I used, sir.
Several people had used that word, that it was a failure, that it was a flop. And my contention was, yes, compared to Force Awakens, compared to Last Jedi, and even Rogue One, it was lower, much lower than those. But by typical box office standards, it did pretty well. If you compare it to all the other Star Wars movies, it is a disappointment for the franchise, for the saga, I guess you could say. Judged by any other standards, it's a success. It's a good movie. It made money. Well, I can't say it made money because I know it didn't, because they spent double the budget on it or whatever. Did we ever find out what the actual money?
Wikipedia says 275 for the budget.
275.
Which is crazy, but that's what happens when you make a movie twice, like you said. I mean, and yeah, they had an uphill battle ahead of them. Part of, I think, the blame lies in not delaying it, in making that May 2018 release date. You can make a release date like that, but it's going to cost so much money. And usually people say, yeah, it's untenable to make that release date. But I think they felt like that they couldn't lose. And also, I mean, we've never gotten a straight answer as to why it needed to come out in May rather than get delayed to December. It did come out on the 41st birthday of Star Wars.
Right.
And I believe the 21st birthday of Renee Chambliss. But I never heard anybody say, oh, well, it had to come out on that day for it to be special. It just they seemed to think that Star Wars needed to go back to summer. But anyhow, yes, I used the word failure, and you and I disagreed about that. And I was just like, oh, okay, well, we'll argue about that in our next episode. And that next episode never happened. But yeah, I wouldn't use the word flop. Flop, it used to mean when a movie didn't make its budget back. It was a flop.
Right.
But then, you know, sometime around Heaven's Gate or, you know, in the 1970s, flop started to mean a movie that lost a ton of money for the studio. Now, though, unfortunately, people use the word flop to mean I didn't like that movie.
Right.
And that's sad because it doesn't mean what it used to mean. And when words start to mean whatever you want them to mean, then then what's the use of that word? Can't we all agree that this word means something so that we're all on the same page when I say Mission Impossible 6 was a flop? Wait, what? It made a ton. It's still making it. Listen to that cash register sound right now. When what they mean was, I hated Mission Impossible 6, or I expected it to make way more than Mission Impossible 5. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, the budget is one big, big stumbling block for Solo. It had to make, what, $700 million worldwide to be a success. Sorry. According to Wikipedia, it needed to gross $500 million worldwide in order to break even.
Because that includes marketing and all that kind of stuff too, right? That's where they're figuring that.
Yes. I mean, they used to call it prints and advertising. And every time I mention prints and advertising, that upsets Big Anklevich.
Because
there are no prints anymore. But you still have to get it to the theater. You still have to advertise it, and television and print ads and... You know, you make a Paranormal Activity movie for $1 million and they spend 23 times that to market it. I mean, that's a hefty paycheck.
Right.
There was a Super Bowl ad for Solo, and who knows how much that cost. These things just mount up. And also, when a film is released, the studio doesn't get all of that money. The theater gets to keep some of that money. And the longer that a movie plays, the more the theater gets to keep.
Right.
And at the same time, a movie that's released internationally in China, for example, the studio doesn't get all that money. China keeps a great deal of that money. I mean, there are always costs. But then, the other thing that everybody used as the argument was that there was Star Wars fatigue.
Right.
There was franchise fatigue. I remember when Star Trek Nemesis came out in 2002. There's franchise fatigue because people can see Enterprise on TV every week if they want. But Nemesis was a terrible movie, and I didn't buy any of the franchise fatigue thing. But I don't know on Solo, because it was not a terrible movie. Still, the excitement wasn't there. The anticipation wasn't there. I think in the episode where we reviewed the movie, I said that there were people that insisted it was coming out next year, like a month before it came out.
Right.
It was so hard to get your mind around another Star Wars movie already.
Because it seemed like we had just, and we had, it was only 5 months difference. We had just watched Last Jedi. And there was still, a lot of... hurt feelings or people that didn't like Last Jedi, and that hadn't gone away by the time Solo came out. And I think if it would have came out in December, because even by now, people aren't as hot on Last Jedi. They still have their opinions and don't like it or do like it or whatever, but it's not as hot of a topic as it was in May. Plus you had Infinity War and Deadpool and everything else coming out right around that same time. That didn't help the market. But I don't know if that's the entire reason. I think the two big reasons are May instead of December, and then people that just didn't like Last Jedi, and they were using Solo as a political boycott of what they felt was a change that needed to happen at Lucasfilm.
Well, but I gotta wonder, and I didn't want to talk about this subject in this episode, because it could fill up a whole... It could fill up volumes of episodes. We could do weekly episodes for the rest of the year about The Last Jedi backlash. But I still refuse to believe that the vast majority of Star Wars fans hated Last Jedi, and that it's this army of boycotters or this army of haters. I feel like it's still just a tiny little contingent of people, but they're super loud. They're the Westboro Baptist Church protesting at funerals, with megaphones and big ugly signs. And you're just like, holy crap, that ruined prom for me. But you don't realize that there were only six of them there interrupting your junior prom. Anyway, I don't know. The funny thing is, I have talked to people, I have run into people that just hate Last Jedi, and they are enthusiastic about talking about it. But I've run into so many more that were either, I really liked that movie, or, I don't get the hate for that movie. I'll just keep going since you didn't interrupt me. Right before Toys R Us closed, I went to the local Toys R Us, and there's this guy, Joe, that I would hang out with all the time over there. He was super into G.I. Joes, and I was into Marvel figures. But we both talk about Star Wars toys, and they had these knockoff AT-ATs. I know they're not knockoffs, but they're AT-ATs from Rogue One that were Toys R Us exclusives, and they have the big orange hatch. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think so, yeah.
Well, let's just pretend you know what I'm talking about so I can move on. And they were on clearance because everything at Toys R Us was on clearance at this point. And I asked him, how much lower are these things going to go? Because I'd kind of like to get one. Do you guys think that, you know, 2 weeks from now, they'll still be here? And he says, all of that Star Wars stuff is still going to be here 2 weeks from now. Didn't you hear? Star Wars is dead.
Wow.
And I was just like, what? I mean, are you talking about the box office for Solo? Because I thought that was a pretty good movie. I think you would like that movie. And he's like, no, then it's not Solo. It's Last Jedi. Last Jedi killed the franchise. And I was surprised at the vehemence, but not just vehemence, confidence in which he said this thing. You know what I mean? It's like, this is a known fact. Marshall, Gone with the Wind is the most successful movie of all time. You know what I mean? That's not my opinion. That is fact.
Right.
And that's how he was saying, you know, Star Wars is dead. Last Jedi killed it. And I was just like, holy cow. This guy works at a toy store. And so he must see people all the time that are just like, oh, let's skip the Star Wars aisle. Ugh, I can smell Last Jedi.
Jeez.
It bummed me out. And I didn't go to Toys R Us for about 10 days after that. Which is dumb because the store no longer exists, and I wish that I had gone there two or three times a week leading up to it. Because when I did go back, all of the AT-ACTs or whatever the F they're called
from Rogue One,
sorry, we'll bleep that, are gone. They're all gone, and yeah, they had like 15 each for about $70, and then they were all gone. And I was there on the last week, going in every single day because they were lowering the prices, and it got down to 90% off on the last day. And all they had for Star Wars merchandise was 3 Constable Zuvios. And gosh, I feel like bad. I've totally hijacked this episode, but I can't help it. It's just, I felt like the guy knew what he was talking about. He must have some evidence, and it made me sad. But the next time I went to Toys R Us, his argument fell apart. All of that stuff was gone.
Evidently, it's not dead.
And I didn't get one of those cruddy AT-ATs. They were like remote control. And so I guess they felt like they could justify an extra $70 or $50. I mean, they were $299.99 when they started.
Wow. So yeah, it was already down to $70. That's pretty.
But anyhow, I never saw Joe again. I probably won't. But I resent him for making me doubt, for making my faith in Star Wars start to fade, because it's been, I don't know, a month and a half since Toys R Us closed or whatever, and I've seen Star Wars sales pick up. I sold 2 Tobias Beckett figures, which was Woody Harrelson's character. I mean, that's a Solo.
Sure, yeah.
Thing. Anyhow, sorry about that. I thought we were going to be talking about a movie that you and I saw. We've got like a spin-off show. So here's an advertisement for that show. What is that show called?
It's going to be Outfield Excursions.
Ah, okay. So if you like what we do with Star Wars, we're going to attempt to do that with other films. And I especially want to focus on films that were not successful, and then ask why, just because that is so interesting to me. I guess that's what we're doing with Solo. But there was one thing today on a message board, and I know I'm my own worst enemy to even go to message boards, but on a message board, somebody had made a statement that they were unwilling to purchase any Star Wars merchandise right now because the pain is too fresh. It still hurts too much.
Wow.
And I thought, oh, this is one of those Last Jedi people. And so I said, oh, so you're one of the, and I call them Last Jedi whingers because it's mean. I said, so you're one of those Last Jedi whingers? And he said, no, it's people like you that treated us so poorly that we didn't like Last Jedi. Star Wars is a much less inclusive fandom than it was 6 months ago, thanks to you. And I was blown away by that. I chose to laugh rather than get angry. But it reminds me of a letter that I read during World War II. I'm going to read that to you now. Dearest Liebchen, it is so unfair the disdain and loathing with which the Juden look upon us every day. We poor Nazis are despised by every Jew we pass, and I swear they would spit upon us if they didn't end up sent to Bergen-Belsen for it. No one can understand the mistreatment we feel, and it will certainly make the Thousand-Year Reich all that much harder, knowing it began with such hatred and injustice. Your darling, Friedrich Uberskousen. That's all I prepared for this episode, but I felt I needed to prepare something. Okay, and now the floor is yours to tell me what you think of all that.
Wow, that's a lot to take in. But yeah, I mean, I've seen the exact opposite. If people say they liked it and try to defend it, then they get shut down and ridiculed for being so fooled by Lucasfilm or whatever, you know. So,
but it's not, they never seem to be angry at Lucasfilm. They're always angry at Disney.
Oh, right.
Disney Star Wars sucks. Disney. Oh, Kathleen Kennedy's evil mouse-shaped head. I don't know. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. The floor is yours.
Well, I guess one question for you. How much stock do you put into Rotten Tomatoes?
Rotten Tomatoes is useful. When you see that something has a high Rotten Tomatoes score, that means that most critics gave it a positive review. The murky part is when you read a review and say, well, was this positive or negative? Who chose to interpret this as a negative review? But the user comment thing, the user review thing, is absolutely corrupt.
The audience score?
It's third world elections where the opposing candidate is already dead level of corruption.
Right.
And I do remember some of those Last Jedi whingers saying, everybody that hated Last Jedi, go to Rotten Tomatoes and downvote it. Create new accounts so that you can downvote it. Register your infant son so he can downvote it. And I was just like, well, can you do that? But sure enough, those numbers started going down amazingly fast. And that's when I sort of opened my eyes to, oh, okay, well, that part, that means nothing. So I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, well, pretty much. I mean,
I hold considerable stock in the Rotten Tomatoes score with an asterisk, but and absolutely no stock to the audience score.
Yeah, so for Solo, it's 71% on the tomato meter and 64% on the audience score.
Interesting.
And I thought that was fair. And I don't know if you've talked to a lot of people regarding their like for Solo, but I haven't heard too many people that outright hated Solo. Most people, they might have had problems with it and they thought it was good, but could have been better or wasn't needed or whatever, or they really liked it. I haven't heard from anybody on the internet or anybody that I've talked to that just outright didn't like Solo. But one of the things that really bothered me, and I saw a couple of these, I know you're not a Twitter guy, and I'm pretty much not too much of a Twitter guy either, other than I have a presence there for the podcast. But I do follow some people there, and one of the people I follow is Ron Howard, because he usually has pretty positive things to say. And he's been a true saint regarding anybody's reaction to Solo or whatever. But I don't know if you saw the one that I posted on the Facebook page, but there was this guy, and I'll read it to you. This is him writing to Ron Howard. He says, "The fact that you are just an outstanding person and a great guy almost makes me regret boycotting Solo because of The Last Jedi. Just know that I've heard great things about it, and we're all sorry that your movie bore the brunt of our ire. And I think I saw two or three of those messages come to Ron Howard, and his response here is pretty typical of what he usually says. He says, "So, sorry you chose to miss it on the big screen. I think you would have enjoyed it. It's still out there if you change your mind."
That's the high road there. Yeah, that's a classy response. I personally would not have responded. Or if I did, it would be one of those things that come back to haunt me later when I'm trying to do Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Yeah, we can talk about that too. I mean, that type of mentality just blows me away. That you would not go see a movie that you've heard good things about, that you would want to see, directed by a classy guy, but you won't go see it because you didn't like The Last Jedi. That kind of stuff just bothers me. So when we had our text in May or whatever about whether Solo was a failure or not, I decided, I've never really gotten too much into the box office mojo worry. I mean, you know, you hear things about record-breaking movies. That's kind of fun to, but I've never just been a follower, you know, and tracked it. But I started to for Solo, and I started comparing it against some other. Basically, my contention was Ant-Man didn't do that great at the box office compared to all the other Marvel movies, but nobody was bemoaning that was the end of Marvel, that was the absolute end of it all. Well, I guess they've always talked about fatigue with superheroes. When is it going to wear out? But it wasn't as doom and gloom as it is around Solo. So I started tracking those numbers. I looked at the opening weekend just by itself, and then I compared all of the adjusted for inflation total domestic, and then I did a worldwide comparison. So for Star Wars movies, put in Solo, Rogue One, Last Jedi, Force Awakens, and then I just threw in Attack of the Clones because that was one of the lower of the, you know, of course, Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back adjusted for inflation are humongous. So I did that, and then I did some of the Marvel movies. I had Ant-Man, Incredible Hulk, Thor, just recently started doing Ant-Man and the Wasp, and then Doctor Strange, Winter Soldier, Guardians of the Galaxy. So here's how Solo kind of comes out. The opening weekend, it made $84,421,000, essentially. Now, it came out on Memorial Day, so if you look at the four-day, then that's $103,000,000 and about 16,000. But some people count the four-day weekend, some people don't, so I just did the three-day. But where that falls in with these movies is, so Ant-Man made the least amount on the opening weekend. It was at like $63,500,000. And then Incredible Hulk is next at $70 million. Thor at $74 million. Well, Ant-Man and the Wasp doesn't really count. Well, no, opening weekend would count. It's at $76 million for Ant-Man and the Wasp. And then Solo. And then it goes Doctor Strange, Winter Soldier, Guardians of the Galaxy. So it did better than Ant-Man, Incredible Hulk, Thor, and Ant-Man and the Wasp for its opening weekend. So I was thinking that wasn't too bad. And then if you look at total domestic adjusted for inflation, currently it's still better than Incredible Hulk, Ant-Man, Winter Soldier, which I thought was surprising. And then Thor, it did better than Thor. Of course, it is the lowest Star Wars. If you start looking at Star Wars, Rogue One came in at $377 million. And Solo right now is at $213 million domestic. And then worldwide is where it really goes downhill for my argument. It's only better than Incredible Hulk worldwide. So Incredible Hulk is $263 million. And Solo worldwide right now is at $392 million. And then Thor and Ant-Man and the Wasp has already overcome Solo's worldwide box office. So yeah, Thor, Ant-Man and the Wasp, and then Ant-Man, then Winter Soldier, you know, goes on from there. So if you look at domestic, it doesn't do too bad. An opening weekend, it didn't do too bad, but worldwide, it's almost the lowest earner out there. But, you know, again, if you compare it to only other Star Wars movies, including Rogue One, then it's always the lowest earner for a Star Wars movie. You know, I think that's what most people are comparing it against when they say that Solo was a failure or whatever. They're comparing it against, hey, Star Wars movies always bank the money. They always do well. Even Rogue One, that wasn't a part of the saga. So Solo is definitely the least moneymaker as far as Star Wars movies go. But when you look at, you know, in with those other Marvel movies, it holds its own pretty well. It did better than Ant-Man and Thor and Ant-Man and the Wasp. And if you think of it in terms of, you know, the MCU started with Iron Man and built up from there, you know, in this new era of Star Wars with Lucasfilm under Disney and having George Lucas out of the run, now this is only the fourth movie in the new Star Wars regime, and it's only the second non-episode film. So, I don't know, I still push back a little bit about it being a failure. If you look at it in terms of breaking even, yeah, worldwide right now it's only at $392 million. So I think you said it had to make $520 or something like that. So it's definitely losing money if that's what they needed to break even. And I don't know how much longer it's going to stay in the theaters, but we'll see, I guess, how it goes. Black Panther was in the theaters for 25 weeks, so.
Is it still in the theaters? Because I remember it was right on the border of 700 million. It was 699 point something, and I wondered. Maybe they'll reissue it in like a double feature with Avengers 3, just so it'll go over that 700.
Well, I think that's what they did. I think it was in limited theaters, and they double featured it with other things. It's showing now that it stopped at 25 weeks, and it did go over 700 million. So yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm still willing to speak up for Solo as a good movie, not only a good quality movie, but not such a failure as people are making it out to be.
I often say these things to you and to Big, that there's a parallel universe out there where things came out differently. And it would be very interesting to see the parallel universe where it's the Miller and Lord version of Solo that came out May 25th.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it would have made more money or less money, but it needed to make far less money because the budget would have been so much smaller. But then, yeah, also the alternate universe where it's still about to come out in December and how well it does there. And it could also be that just people have become used to, especially young people, that right before Christmas, it's time for another Star Wars movie.
Yeah. And, well, then, you know, they had carved that out. That was their time. You know, everybody else had to compete against it. But now, who knows? Well, I guess the next one, right? Episode 9 is coming out in December.
Yeah, December of 2019. And something tells me it'll do just fine.
I think it will. I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the news regarding that. But one of the things I neglected to do at the beginning of the show was we did get some voicemail about our Solo episode.
You mentioned that in the last episode, yeah.
One of the things for listeners that want to call in on the voicemail line, one of the things you need to keep in mind is that it only records for 3 minutes. So if you talk over 3 minutes and you get disconnected, it hangs up on you, you can call back and keep talking and it'll record that, and we can paste that together if we play it on the podcast. Bria didn't know that, so she just kind of gets cut off, and then she kind of finished up her comment in the comment section on the blog. But here's what Bria says to begin with here.
Hello, this is Bria Burton, one of your listeners, and I just finished the Delusions of Grandeur episode about the Solo movie. And I also have my six-month-old who's named Luke in the background. You might hear him making some noises. So I just had to comment because I have been listening to the podcast, and because I have a small child, I don't get to interact as much as I used to. But I just wanted to call because I also really enjoyed the Solo movie, really loved it. And I had listened to the episode very recently because I was finally catching up where you guys had done the predictions, and I was going to call then, but I was like, well, wait, they're going to talk about this later. So I just had to say I was quite impressed with the predictions because I had watched the movie right before listening to the predictions, so it was pretty neat to hear how many both Marshall and Rish got correct. So that was pretty fun, and then I was glad you guys revisited that. I also really would love to see them continue, like, the Han Solo movies and do more of those, and, like, a Han and Lando movie would be really fun just to focus on their relationship, I think, and see more of them interacting. That I would really enjoy. Pretty much all the things you guys talked about, I agreed with. I didn't dislike the droid, L3. I actually enjoyed her character, so I was surprised to hear that Rish did not enjoy her. I think because when Rish said there was this female character I despised, I immediately was thinking of the very beginning when I think it's, the name is Proxima. I might have that wrong, but the giant wormy thing at the very beginning. That, I thought, was a little too much. The whole movie I really enjoyed. The very opening was a little weak to me, in my opinion, so I was curious if you guys would mention that, but I didn't hear any comments about that. So if you do talk about Solo again, which at the end of this episode sounded like you were maybe going to do another one, I would love to hear thoughts on the opening, which I felt was the weakest part of the film, and I wondered if that was what made people kind of like, whatever's going on, you know, people who didn't like the movie. I have not actually talked to anyone in person who didn't like the movie. Everyone that I know that has seen the movie has also loved it. So I don't know who these naysayers are, but I also loved The Last Jedi. So yeah, but I have talked to people in person who didn't like it, and I kind of understand some of their issues, but at the same time, it was such a good movie. So I'm like, whatever, I loved it. So anyway. Would love to hear thoughts next time about the opening. I'm going to give my 2 cents. My thought was
Then she gets cut off, but she did finish up in the comments here, so I'll just read what she said. What I was going to say about the opening was I think it could have been stronger if we had seen a young Han working on a Corellian ship with his father, who was teaching him things. Then maybe jump to him escaping the planet with Kira. The current opening was a little too slow, and the word worm lady was odd. But other than that, I loved the whole thing and enjoyed your conversation about it. So, I don't know, do you have any thoughts about things that she said there?
It's been long enough since I saw the movie that I had forgotten how much I disliked the L3 droid. Since we last spoke, I read that Last Shot book that we talked about.
Right.
That's sort of a sequel, a prequel. I mean, it jumps around the timeline to when Lando was captain of the Millennium Falcon with L3. And then later when Han and Chewie are running around in the Millennium Falcon. And then after Return of the Jedi, when Han and Leia have a newborn son. He's a toddler, I guess.
Oh, right.
And that book, it was interesting because they never explain what happened to L3, but Lando clearly thinks back to when L3 was with him, and it's like, oh, I sure miss that droid. And I wondered if it was just like, oh, okay, well, I'm not allowed to give that spoiler in this book. Or maybe the author didn't know the spoiler. But then sort of L3 comes back at the very end. I mean, not literally, but her consciousness in another droid saves Lando's life at the end of the book. And that went a little ways to making me not dislike the character anymore.
Oh.
The scenes, the interactions with young Lando and that droid were not so bothersome to me as they were in the film. And then, yeah, the remnants of the L3 program saving Lando, a middle-aged Lando, was nice. It was kind of sweet.
Huh.
But yeah, as far as Lady Proxima goes, you remember it starts with a text, and they refer to the foul Lady Proxima.
Yeah.
And they sort of set that up, like she is going to be something significant in this movie, you know. But she's not. She's just in that one scene. She has a couple of lines, and then she gets sunlight on her and
burned. Yeah.
And our characters make their escape. I've never understood how old Han and Kira are supposed to be in that scene. What would you say?
I'd say they're in their early 20s, late teens, maybe they're supposed to be.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I don't think they ever established how old Han is in the rest of the film. But I wondered if they had any consideration to, like, digitally de-age these characters so that they were kids.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that scene would have worked better had Han been, like, 13.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like another actor or something.
Yeah. But I don't think that it was a weak sequence like Bria did. But I would have liked more of it. I don't know how necessary it was. I guess it's necessary because it shows the relationship between Han and Kira. But yeah, I felt like it was so brief. I didn't know if, you know, they were truly in love or, you know, how long they had been together. Or, you know, we don't really see what life is like for them in the same way that we do with Rey in the beginning of Force Awakens. There's sort of an economy of story of length there in Force Awakens where we see Rey scavenging. We see how little she gets for what she has scavenged. We see her look at this old woman who is scavenging. And without dialogue, we realize she's thinking, this is going to be me. I'm going to do this forever. And we get a scene where she puts a rebel helmet on and sort of, you know, pretends that she could be out there making a difference in the galaxy. I don't know how much of the movie that is, if that's 3 minutes, if that's 6 minutes. It could even be less than that. But I feel like we get a lot more of what Rey's life is like than we get in the Solo thing of what Han's life is like.
Yeah, I guess if anything, it probably is a little bit rushed because they want to get Han into the smuggling life, into the heist with Tobias Beckett and everything. So it might be a little rushed, but they had to do it to establish Kira so that when she came back, we knew what that meant to him and that kind of thing. I guess in watching it, I didn't feel that way. Would it have been nice to see him with his dad as a young kid? That might have been kind of neat, kind of establish, you know, where he comes from with his parentage and stuff. We just see him as an orphan, Oliver kind of character. Oh, and then with the Proxima thing, I don't know. I guess I appreciated just good old fashioned, you know, practical effects. That didn't bother me as much. I mean, her voice was kind of over the top, but just seeing...
It was Linda Hunt, right? Is Linda Hunt not the voice of Lady Proxima?
Oh, is that... I don't know.
So they clearly patterned the monster after the actress that voiced... Oh, that's mean. Don't say that. I got a Linda Hunt vibe from Lady Proxima, and then I think I read somewhere that she was the voice, but maybe that's just...
Yes, it was Linda Hunt as Lady Proxima. Yeah, I never put that together.
Do you know who Linda Hunt
yeah,
is?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it seemed like a Return of the Jedi era practical effect where it was just like a puppet on wires.
Yeah.
But would that have been more effective if it had been a CG character or a person in a suit? And you know, I don't know. I think I would have liked Holdo more if she had been a puppet on wires.
Maybe.
Sorry. I couldn't help but get that last dig into Holdo there. Sorry. So you were saying that you appreciated that it was an old school practical effect.
Yeah, you know, and just it felt like a Ron Howard kind of thing, you know, thinking back to Willow and stuff like that. So I appreciated it on that scale. Yeah, I guess, you know, when you compare it to other special effects that we've seen in Star Wars movies, it's not as cool.
Well, she's not memorable. I don't know that she was lame or anything like that, but it's just, yeah, there are some designs that are more inspired than others.
Yeah.
But it's really neat that Bria would send the voicemail. I wish more people would do that. Just because, you know, ask us questions and we can answer. It gives us more content. And then it feels nice to know that somebody listened to the show. Am I alone in that?
No, definitely not. You know, and I mean, it'd be fun just to do voicemail response. episodes, you know, or even emails that come in. You know, we could answer emails and stuff like that. I do get some feedback from Bria, everyone. She used to help edit the podcast, and she would send me little things through there. And then Keith Teklitz, who continues to help me edit the Journey Into podcast, you know, he'll send me things too via email.
Was Bria not Mon Mothma in the Creative Commons that we occasionally use?
Yes, yes. Yeah, Bria's that voice there. So she's contributed in many ways to the podcast, so appreciate her a lot.
Yeah, I do too. That's great. So yeah, one more time, give that telephone number.
It is 77J-Into-107. So if you don't like the letters in the telephone dial there, it's 77546861-07. And of course, the email address is journeyintopodcast@gmail.com.
Right. What you said last episode still holds. If you live in Europe, if you live in on the fourth moon of Yavin, you can always record yourself and just to attach it to an email. So that, you know, because the voicemail line only works for domestic U.S. calls.
It does. And the other thing to keep in mind is that it does cut you off in 3 minutes. So if you get cut off, you can call back and continue your message. Or you can try to keep your message below 3 minutes, whichever.
Oh, don't do that. Yeah, I think I called it one time and it would cut me off. And then I'd hit redial and it would call again. And finally, you picked up the phone. And you're like, who is calling? You know that it is 3:45 a.m. And I was just like, oh, I didn't realize this was an actual telephone. I was leaving a very lengthy voicemail.
Well, there was a time when somehow it got linked to my cell phone. So when somebody called the voicemail line, it would also call my cell phone. I don't know how that happened, but I finally got rid of that feature. So.
Oh, okay, that's good. I know that maybe we get repetitive at the end of these episodes, although it's certainly better than the podcasts I listen to where they have a script, and it's word for word the same on every episode.
Oh, right.
But I appreciate the heck out of knowing that there are people that like the show, that have questions or comments, or just love to heap praise upon us for just how good we are and how wonderful human beings we are. What they thought of those vignettes, the solo things, whether they want more of those. Just this week, I listened to my recording of a little sketch that we were going to play on the show, and then I chickened out when I recorded it. I was like, this just isn't good at all. I listened to that recording and I thought, you know, maybe this is all right. Maybe we'll put this out in the future. So it can just be nice to hear that somebody appreciates the work or appreciates the insights or appreciates the banter, just to get us to want to do it more.
Yeah, and if it's always the same people, that's okay to start, you know. We like our core audience, you know. At least I know three other people are listening, so that's good. I guess maybe since we're talking about that, we did get a comment on Facebook from Keith Teklitz, and I'll just read that. He says, before I forget to mention it, I really dig these little vignettes. So that was some feedback there. They felt authentic and true to the characters. That being said, the real reason I'm commenting, please, please, please do a Wedge episode. I think you mentioned that last episode. He is my favorite character, and I would love to hear anything and everything you guys would have to say about him. He's why I went into the new trilogy, already loving Poe. I love Finn more now, though.
Huh.
I dig me some pilots and space battles.
I was about to ask him to comment again. Why do you like Wedge? Maybe I still will. Keith, if you want to send us your feelings of why you like Wedge, maybe we can use that to kick off a Wedge episode. Yeah, I think in the most recent discussion you and I had, Wedge had shown up in the last episode of Rebels that I saw. And so that's why we talked about him.
Oh,
and
right. Yes.
Yeah. Dennis Lawson, who is the uncle of Ewan McGregor and played Wedge Antilles, was offered a role in The Force Awakens and he turned it down. And I kind of want to sit down with the guy and say, why would you do that? I guess...
My theory is that he was going to play the part that Poe did at the beginning, and that he was...
No, I think that has been That's not a theory. I think that is definitely the case. And that character is killed.
Oh, okay. So, and that was going to be it. He was just going to come in and die. Like, maybe to continue our reference to Star Trek on these episodes, you know, that was similar to, I think, Leonard Nimoy didn't want to be part of Star Trek Generations because it was just him coming on and saying a few glib things on the Enterprise B before Captain Kirk got taken away to the Nexus or whatever. So he didn't want to be a part of that movie, but of course he came back later.
Yeah, I think Scotty delivers the, "Captain, is there something wrong with your chair?" Which was definitely a Spock line.
Yeah.
Seems like there was another Spock line that was either given to Chekhov or Scotty. Okay, I guess I hear you. But it's just his part in those three Star Wars movies in the trilogy is small. And I only love Wedge because it's the same pilot in the three movies.
Right.
If those had been three different actors with three different call signs or whatever, I would not care. And so, yeah, again, Keith, tell us what you think. And I would love to talk about Wedge.
Yeah, call the voicemail line.
Yes, that's a tease for a future Wedge episode. I was about to say what my introduction to Wedge was, but I'm not going to.
Ah.
To be continued.
Okay, we'll save that. And maybe we can lump it into a, you know, where we just talk about the space battles and the pilots that we get to know.
Yes.
I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, gosh, this franchise is so rich that we could do an episode where it's just about the pilots, or we could do an episode. Well, I guess we did an episode about the female pilots.
Oh, we did, yeah. Okay, so we'll fill that. Well, it's been another great episode. I've enjoyed talking to you more about Solo and to get some of this stuff off my chest about the box office.
Yeah, it's always frustrating when a movie that you like is not successful. I mean, there have to have been many examples through the years that you've seen or that I've seen. The John Carter of Mars comes to mind, a movie where they spent a lot of money. And I think they totally intended to make sequels to that. They were thinking this is the start of a new franchise, and it didn't make its money back. And that was it. Right out of the gate, it was over. And that's too bad, because I quite liked John Carter of Mars. There's usually one every year or so that some studio takes a chance on and they underperform or they flat out fail. And whenever that happens, it becomes all the less likely that somebody is going to gamble. Not that Solo was a gamble. That should have been a sure thing. It was a Star Wars movie. It was about a character that we all liked. And the ramifications of the movie's, let me say, disappointing box office, we don't know entirely. There was a lot of talk that Lucasfilm had canceled its plans for the Obi-Wan film, the Boba Fett film, the Lando spin-off, the Solo sequels. And then as soon as that news got out there, Lucasfilm refuted it, but they didn't double down and say, no, Obi-Wan Kenobi comes out May 26th, 2021. I think they just hit the brakes and are reassessing, and that would not be the case if Solo had performed even as well as Rogue One did, which did very, very well. I don't know why. I guess it was just the best comparison of the Star Wars films.
Well, also, Solo comes out on DVD and Blu-ray really soon. And who knows, you know, a bunch of new people may discover it. There may be some really cool special features on there that we'll want to talk about, too. Sometimes a deleted scene or something can just open up new doors of possibilities.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing Ron Howard's commentary to see if he gives away any, we kept this from Lord Miller, and we redid this for this reason or whatever.
So there is a commentary?
Well, I don't know.
There'd better be after that.
I don't know. That's one of the other reasons I really appreciate Rian Johnson, because he provided a commentary on the DVD and the Blu-ray. We'd have to wait for a 3D Blu-ray like Abrams did for a commentary.
Oh.
But yeah, thanks for talking more about Star Wars with me here. And take care of yourself, Rish. I guess that's what you're best at, isn't it?
Hey, Marshall, may the force be with you.
All right, goodbye, everybody.
Good night.
Young fool, only now, at the end, do you understand? This feeble podcast is produced under a Creative Commons 3.0 no derivatives license. Take your little Star Wars show, try to sell it or claim it for yourself, and your journey toward the dark side will be complete. Good, good. Fulfill your destiny and never think about Star Wars again. And now, young listener, you will try.
I don't know. Do you think we have time to talk about the episode 9 casting news that's come out?
If you want to, but I felt like maybe we could have that be its own thing.
Okay.
Is it significant? Is it something we can talk about for 20 minutes?
Oh, I don't know about 20 minutes.
But certainly the Leia stuff, I think we can talk about for a while, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we can talk about that.
And I thought, well, hey, this has been pretty good. So I was sort of tying it up when I said, you know, we like to hear feedback.
Yeah. Okay.
What would you prefer?
We can put it on the next episode and maybe talk about other things as well. So we...
Well, yeah, if you don't mind, we can just start it up again on Second to Last Jedi, whatever the next one is called.
Yeah, The Next Jedi.